Our next guest on the program is the New York Times best-selling author of the novels Dread Nation and its sequel Deathless Divide, as well as Star Wars adventures Lando's Luck and Spark of the Resistance. She's got a brand new book aimed at middle grade readers called Ophie's Ghosts, and we are pleased to be joined by Justina Ireland. Hello, Justina. Thank you for being with us today.
Hey, Rich. Thanks so much for having me.
Sounds like you have a very interesting protagonist in Ophie. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah, sure. So Ophie Harrison is 12 years old, and one night in the middle of the night, she wakes up to see her father standing at the end of her bed and telling her she needs to get her mom and their little bit of savings and get out of the house because something bad's going to happen. And so they do. And then the next morning, she discovers that her father was actually had already been murdered. And the person who warned her to get out of the house was actually his ghost. So that kind of kickstarts her journey in that she can now discover she can see ghosts. What does this mean? You know, she's got a lot going on because obviously her father has just died. But at the same time, her and her mother leave Georgia because it's no longer safe for them and move to Pittsburgh. So Ophie's dealing with a lot of things. She's dealing with a sudden power. She's dealing with, you know, her mother who is still grieving. And then she's just dealing with living in a new situation in a new place and a little bit of additional responsibility.
And this encounter with the ghost of her father, as you mentioned, opens up a whole new world. And that coupled with some strange doings at Daffodil Manor really help her learn some stories and some history.
Yeah, I mean, so like Daffodil Manor, of course, you know, what is a proper manor without a few ghosts? is, you know, extremely haunted. And as she goes through, you know, she works there for an older woman named Mrs. Carruthers, who is pretty much bedbound. And as she, you know, starts tending to this woman and gets this job to help her mother save money to buy into a house because they're staying with some relatives, she realizes, you know, there's a lot of stories and a lot of history. So even though the book takes place in 1922, it does touch on some, you know, other parts of history. You know, for example, there's an industrialist who has worked himself to death. And then there is, you know, a World War I soldier who has come back, you know, and has, you know, severe PTSD, not what we called it back then, but, you know, shell shock, and has, you know, kind of drank himself to death. And so she's meeting all these ghosts, but it's really about the empathy of other people's histories and the empathy of other people's stories and realizing that your own suffering and grief isn't necessarily unique.
Whether it's ghosts that we think of in the traditional sense or in other fashions, do you think that houses continue to hold these histories and these stories?
I think there's something, you know, we've all been walked into a place that immediately felt warm and welcoming, or the opposite, you know, cold and not someplace we want to stick around. So I definitely believe houses hold an energy because I believe, you know, people change their environment. And sometimes that's at a level that we don't necessarily perceive.
We're talking with Justina Ireland on Downtown. Her new book is called Ophie's Ghosts. Part of coming of age is understanding the past, and certainly that is what helps Ophie achieve some growth.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we always say, you know, history doesn't repeat, but it certainly does rhyme. I think it's, you know, if we don't know our history, if we don't understand, you know, why things are the way they are, we don't understand, you know, the existing forces and where they, you know, sprang from. I definitely think we're doomed to repeat the mistakes. I mean, even as individual human beings, one of the nicer things about getting older is, you know, you make new mistakes. You don't necessarily keep doing the same things wrong that you did when you were a little kid.
Well, it's certainly a timely book. We're living at a time when it seems like much of the nation would like to keep some of our own ghosts very dead and buried.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's one of the problems is, like, the longer those ghosts stay buried, the more violent they are when they come out. I just, you know, the past is around us, whether we like to acknowledge it or not. And, you know, it kind of, you know, our own history can be like a ghost. It can be like a specter that if we don't address it and we don't deal with it, it just keeps making things worse.
This is your first book for middle grades. What do you find unique about that time in life for young people?
I think it's really about the storytelling. You know, I write a lot of young adults, and young adults really about where do I fit in the world? You know, am I going to overthrow a dystopian regime? But, like, you know, middle grade is really about where do I fit in my family and my community? It's a more localized, more personal story. And so that's really one of the things that's been great about getting a chance to write middle grade is getting to tell a more personal story that doesn't have to be quite as bombastic as a YA book, you know, kind of has to be.
I read an interview where you said something I found very interesting. Comfortable people don't like change. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think anybody, you know, change, it sometimes requires growth emotionally. Some change requires us to adapt in ways that we're uncomfortable with. And I think when you are in a place where you're, you know, happy and well cared for, change seems threatening. And I think that, you know, we all have to at some point realize that change isn't bad. Everything changes. Things are always changing. It's our reactions to that change that really matters. Are we going to embrace it and learn how to be, you know, better people because of it? Or are we going to, you know, resist it and, you know, end up stuck in our same patterns of behavior that we've always lived with?
Great stories are great stories for all readers. But how important do you think it is for young people of color to see heroines and heroes in stories that are like them?
Oh, I think it's vitally important. There was a study done a few years ago that, you know, it really broke out that there are more stories about anthropomorphic animals than kids of color at one point. And I think it's really important when you're validating someone's humanity to see yourself reflected in those storytelling. I think we all saw those videos when Black Panther came out. You know, so many kids, that was the first time they'd ever seen a superhero that looked like them. And it was really validating that they too could do something extraordinary. And, you know, for a lot of white children, that's always been the truth. And I think that, you know, it's really not about, you know, lessening someone else's experience. It's about inviting more people into the room. Because when there are more people into the room, you get to have more interesting conversations. And those conversations will make us all better people.
Absolutely. What do you think it is, Justina, the everlasting power of ghost stories?
I think we all want to think, whether, you know, regardless of our belief system, that there's something beyond this existence, this bit of consciousness. And ghost stories give us a kind of a manageable way to admit that there's something more, that the spirit endures, that the things we live through as human beings matter beyond just our own personal, like, pettiness. And so I do think ghost stories are, like, do so well for that reason, because there's just something spooky, something kind of haunting and creepy about a spirit that doesn't pass on. But at the same time, it validates the fact that there is an afterlife, that there is something more than just, you know, our spin around this globe.
Away from Ophie's ghost for just a moment, when might readers get a chance to see A Test of Courage?
Test of Courage is already out. It came out in January, and it's part of the Star Wars High Republic. And it features, you know, some younger Padawans and a younger Jedi, like, on an adventure. And the next book, the next Star Wars book, is going to be Out of the Shadows, and that comes out in July, and that is a YA book. So it's a little more murdery, a little more exciting, a little more chaos, more explosions. So, yeah.
Well, Justina, it's wonderful to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us today, and I look forward to reading Ophie's Ghost and sharing it with a whole new generation of people. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Rich.